Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Yeah, a little seosin for these niggas, man. Come in, it's all good. Come take some pictures, allowed in, it's all good. Welcome to Wednesday, Real Ass Morning Show. It's always a crazy energy in the air when Jimmy Martinez comes into.
Yo, what's all these red tape, yo, my nigga? Fuck all that red tape shit, dog. Stop. Stop. The president ain't here, dog. It's just me, G-Money, and Mike the producer, dog.
Black Mike?
Yeah, Black Mike. We let that shit rock on the show, too.
Come on, baby boy.
No doubt. Black Mike is here.
Black Mike's crushing it, man. He's a Mets fan.
Yes, the 86 Mets, too. Yeah. The amazing Mets.
G-Money and Black Mike also wore the same outfit, technically.
I was expecting Jimmy's crew to be a little scarier.
Yo, that's my
is this
crew.
Like the morning
Jimmy
crew?
Martinez's crew, motherfucker.
Is this
open
like the
doors.
The it's afternoon two. Shift at a strip club.
Jimmy's crew is fucking.
Don't underestimate that. That's one of the blackest white boys I've met in my motherfucking life, right there. G-Money dangerous.
Here's the thing: if you guys don't know, if you didn't listen to Legion of Skanks last time Jimmy was on, Jimmy has started his own podcast, The Fire in the Hole podcast, available on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere else. If you guys aren't downloading that fucking podcast, you are not real ass. Get the fuck out of here. I'm telling you right now. Mm-hmm. You have to download his podcast. You have to subscribe right now. You have to leave a review. You have to let them know that the Puerto Rican motherfucking rattlesnake, Louis J. Gomez, sent you there. Show them the power of the fucking Gomites. Show them the power of the real ass dudes. Right now, pause this fucking show. Go subscribe to Fire in the Hall on iTunes. Leave them a fucking 5-star review. Let them know what the fuck is up, because Jimmy keeps it real. Most people in this industry, love him or hate him, most people in this industry don't keep it real. Most people in this industry are afraid of repercussions of what they say, jokes they make. Most people, I'm thinking about doing a blog, because I saw a blog with Louis C.K. It's 17 bookers say whether or not they would book Louis. And it's just everyone going, no, we would never. We would never make our club an unsafe space. And they should have just
17 named. Bookers lie.
Yeah, they're fucking phonies. And also on top of that, it's like, yes, I could also find 17 bookers that would say that they would book him. So it's just kind of bullshit.
And then I can find the rest of the Jews that run the comedy clubs in America that would.
But I'll tell you, I was thinking about contacting a bunch of comics and doing a blog where it's like 20 comedians anonymously give their real opinions on the situation.
I don't want to be anonymous.
I know.
I want my motherfucking name. I want them to know I said it. I want them to know where the fuck it's coming from, because if you don't know who's fucking putting the spotlight on you, you'll continue to behave in a manner. Now, if you're someone that has some sort of influence in the business or in the game
influence.
On some level, you know, they would respect what you're doing at a fair or whatever it is. Like, all I want niggas to do is audit their behavior. That's it. Stop your whole shit and let the game be the game.
I agree. I hate ho shit. That's my least favorite thing that people do is ho shit.
It's really disgusting. But yeah, man, yo, Louis,
I don't want to lose the point that I was making, which is this: where I'm complimenting you and all of it, because I wouldn't have to say to you, be anonymous with this thing. You would just say what the fuck was on your mind, for better or for worse, for your career. I think that it's going to do more for you. I'm the same way. I think it's going to do more for me to be honest, to develop a fan base that respects my opinion. The reason people are fans of me and you, Jim, is because no matter what you want to say, I think that people could tell I'm being genuine. Mm-hmm. I'm not overthinking what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm not planning it out in any way. I'm being somewhat genuine. And even if I say stupid shit or if I say the thing that's not necessarily right, they know I'm just sort of, you know, speaking off the cuff and firing from the hip. And that is lost today in a social media time when people can edit their words before they go out. They can overthink everything. They throw out these perfect versions of what they say. And we don't have that anymore. And in entertaining, it's fucking very refreshing. So that's why, that's my intro for Jimmy Martinez. And it's why I love you. And it's why people should download your podcast.
And what they should also know, I got to say this, Louis, because what motherfuckers don't know is, in case y'all don't know, all the real ass dudes that's listening and the real ass dudes isn't just guys. It's the chicks too.
We know.
Can't exclude the chicks, B.
Doggy, the chicks
the
are more
bones of
chicks
everything.
Are more dudes than dudes, please.
So Luis Gomez really
Luis J. Gomez,
the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, he really helped put this whole movement for firing a hole into position. He kept telling me, get your podcast, Jimmy, get your podcast. How long since I came home from jail, when I came with
G-Dot?
A few years. You've been like, get your podcast. Then I said, I'm going to get a podcast. Then I've been saying, I'm going to get a podcast forever.
Start your own podcast, Jimmy.
Now, I was telling Luis, let me come on your network and let me get on the joint. Listen, Jimmy, this is what you do.
Well,
I said, you know what?
Let me tell you why. Because you said you were like, let me do something on your network. And I said, no. And it was not because I didn't want to work with you. I know you're incredible and I know you're very talented and I know you're very passionate. But I know that I love you as a friend, and I think that that would complicate things. You don't need to fucking work for somebody. You don't need somebody. This is what I said to you. I was like, Jimmy, you need to be the boss. You don't need to come in and have somebody telling you where to go, what time to be in. The type of people me and you are, I know we'd end up bumping heads. And like, why? When that's not even what I would tell you to do. You're a self-starter. You know, we had a conversation. I came, I met with you. I was like, dude, put some shit on social media. You'll get some people that are passionate about creating. Because these guys, it's not that they're just fans of yours. But
they're like, actually bigger fans of you guys.
I know. Well, I'm very talented.
They love the skanks. They love you.
But no.
Like, when we went to your fucking special, they were like, are we going to the special? Are we going to day of the fucking week? Like, they're huge fucking,
these niggas know what the fuck's up.
They're real ass dudes.
They're real ass dudes. But the point is, it's not only are they fans of this world, but they want to work in this world. This is what I noticed with Gas Digital, is we had all these people that were fans of the podcast, but it's not like they just wanted hang out with podcasters.
I just hate that term, fan, B. Like, it's just whack. You know, fans.
What, a little beta bitch made fans? They're beta bitch made fans. They stand there, worship the ground that I walk on. I'm sorry.
Listen, man, they're more like family members, homie. Like,
family members. Write it down, name of the pod. Done. Pretty easy, guys. This is how I do it.
You're fucking hilarious.
I'm a pro.
They're like family members. Lewis is running out of them.
I give it up over here. It is what it is. You know?
Pew, pew.
Motherfucking, thanks for having me on, man. What's going on in the real ass world?
I love having you, Jim. Let's get into some shit real quick. Let's get some plugs out of the way real quick. Any dates or anything else to plug? Obviously, fire on the whole podcast. Go download it now. Anything else you wanted to plug?
Shit, man. I'm on a new season of The Last OG coming out this April. We just wrapped that season up with Tracy Morgan, my homegirl Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. Motherfucking... I'm just out here getting ready for pilot season, auditioning. Just came off that Blue Bloods lick, So same old, man. Just pushing this whole fire and a whole agenda. Talking that truth. I got dates coming up with Corey Holcomb. He didn't lock the dates in. They just got him in. So I'm thinking more like in April, I'll start my run with him. Shout out to the whole 5150 Nation. Regular nigga shit, man. Shout out to all the bitches out here sucking niggas' dicks on the first date. You know what I mean? Like, that's real nigga shit.
I got no hate on those bitches.
Nah.
That's what I was going
to
plug,
though. Shout out to all the real niggas out here eating bitches' pussy on the first date. You know what I mean?
Easy.
What you mean easy? But first what's date? Good for the goose is what's good for the gander. Fuck that. Niggas need to eat more pussy. That's why the community's all fucked
son,
up right now.
Son, I eat pussy like a motherfucker. I all love right, pussy. It's a problem.
Why is it a problem for us? When I said that, you was just like, whoa.
Well,
like,
I'm just saying the first date. I mean, come on. Nah, there's a whole
fuck that, but we want our dick sucked on the first date.
It's yeah, but it's very easy to suck a dick. I mean, you just pull it out of your
it's
pants.
Just, it's you very it, easy to eat a pussy,
no, it's
nigga.
Not. In a movie theater, eating a pussy in a movie theater is goddamn near impossible.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Movie theater dick suck is like,
I'm a disrespectful nigga. We gonna make it public. Your kids go grow up. Your kids go get a sexual education about what? The clitoral licking at the movie theater. Cause I'm gonna eat that pussy where she comfortable too.
So what do
so
you do?
We gotta get on the motherfucking runway.
You pretend you lost your cell phone in between the seats?
Nah, like, fuck that. Let's just get where the lights are on the steps going down to the concession. Okay. Get right there, nigga. Open up, ma. I'm gonna eat that pussy.
But the other problem is, can I tell you the other problem?
What's the other problem?
And I'm
for
being
you?
Real now. This is some real shit right here.
Talk about
and it. We haven't even done our plugs yet, but I'm going to get into it because I'm not going to not have this conversation right now. Nobody wants to put their knees on that sticky ass floor. So there's no way to really get that pussy in without getting your jeans all
man,
fucked up.
Shout out to all the champion women that's gotten on their knees on that floor.
Yeah, but that's not in the movie theater. They can just bend over and put their head on the side. There's no putting your head on the side to eat
man,
a pussy.
Listen, bro. First of all, I'm not a nigga that like to sit down and get head. I need to stand up. All right, I need to see all of the motherfucking motion. You know how fat I used to be? I couldn't see the dick suck before. Now I got this weight off me.
So you like watching it?
Yeah, point view. 2K19 out this bitch, B.
I get it.
Word.
I get it, dude. You gotta watch it. It's almost like...
Fuck out of here.
Now you got like a high definition TV. You're
straight
like,
up.
You're going to turn it on.
Losing that stomach? Yeah.
Of course.
But I got the stomach back a little bit for the winter. You it's know what good. I mean? Chicks it's love a little cushion when they bumping back down there.
Is it weird now that you. Well, let's do our plugs real quick because I want to actually ask you about that because you did get in shape. Zach, what do you got to plug real quick?
Twitter and Instagram. Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network every Friday at midnight. Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. Comedian sitting down watching horror movies, talking shit.
Go to iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. You for the Real Ass Podcast. One reviewer per month, we give them a free piece of merch. We pick it at random, whether it's good or bad. So go review right now. Anything, t-shirt, hat, mug, whatever you want. Also, check out my other two shows, the Legion of Skanks Podcast and Believe You Me with Michael Bisping. A couple dates coming up February 2nd. I'll be in Poughkeepsie at Laugh It Up. Mid-March, I'm going to be with Justin Silver at Uncle Vinny's down the shore in Jersey. And I got some more dates coming up in London and Toronto with Michael Bisping. Posting about that very soon, guys. We have to just confirm a couple more little things. So,
you saw how excited G-Money was when you mentioned your dates down at the shore?
Yeah.
That's where
oh, is that
from.
Where you're from? Oh, dog, you got to get some people to come out, baby boy.
Oh, he will.
Get some people to come
out.
He
fucking will. He brought a whole bunch of his friends from down there to Skankfest.
I love it. Was Skankfest not the best time ever? We're having a meeting right after this for Skankfest. We're starting to plan everything right now. Now's the time.
I hope I'm more of a major part of it this year.
I think you will be featured at Skankfest. I would assume that would be happening, Jimmy.
I don't know, man.
So you did say you lost weight, which is great, and then you put a little bit back on. Before you ever got in shape, because you were fucking jacked at one point. Mm-hmm. You were really fucking. I was like, damn, Jimmy got fucking jacked. Did that fuck with you a little bit psychologically now? Because are you more self-conscious? Are you more aware of the weight going back on? Because that's what happened with me. Once I got in shape, now it's like an obsession. Now I'm just constantly thinking about it. If I gain weight, lose weight, what I eat. It's just, I wish I could just be happy.
No, you know, for me personally, I had to get the weight right, you know, because I'm a diabetic, you know what I mean? So it was more of a health conscious decision. And then once I lost the weight, I was just like, wow, I'm telling you, it was a dick suck one night that really let me know, like, yo, I'm achieving my goals here. My stomach is all the way down. My doctor kept telling me, you gotta lose your stomach, gotta lose your stomach, because...
While he was sucking your dick? What? I'm not afraid of you on my own show, Jimmy. I have a whole staff here. They will fuck your crew will never be seen or heard from again. Are you out of your mind? You know what Harrington will do to them at the fucking drop of a hat?
I will fuck up everybody, every one of your crew members.
Shannon, he's popping that shit. Shannon, come here and fucking.
I will fuck up every. I don't
go to the Shannon camp.
You
show,
already
show
know.
Tough Shannon
I don't
guys.
Give a fuck about none of that shit. Listen to what I'm telling you. You already
out,
know, bro. We don't do those.
Oh, the gay jokes.
We don't do that
he
shit.
He hates
man.
Gay jokes. Like, why don't you? What is the
you
issue
know
with
what
the gay
it
joke?
Is? Because, homie, I'm going to tell you real nigga shit.
Are you pulling out a gun? What is going on right now? Please stop pulling out a gun.
I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you real
just spins it on the table. Next motherfucker to make a
gay
joke.
That shit is not...
I just take it and tell
myself. In our culture, that shit just ain't hitting, B.
I know.
You know what I mean? On the block, niggas don't play dick games.
It's an untalked about thing.
You know, in jail, niggas don't play dick games. When you invite a nigga to your dick, that means you really about that mess.
Knock.
You really want... You
Who's
want
there?
Exactly.
Exactly. You are cordially invited to my dick.
Yeah, but then are you really ready for what comes on the other side of that?
But people get very, very homophobic. I grew up...
It's not even about homophobia. It's just the disrespect.
Right.
You telling another man to suck your dick.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate disrespect. Another man could say, yo, dog, I hear you want to fight me. Lewis.
Me?
Yeah. We heard all about it.
Let's get into it. I have a horn.
There's a whole thing.
Jimmy, it's number two on the list.
Well,
you think I'm not getting to it, Jimmy? Number two on the list.
Let me say the word fight.
You think I wasn't going to bring it up? You're not bringing it up, Jimmy.
Okay, whatever y'all want to do. Listen to me. Lewis, you my guy. You my guy, for real. You my little bro, man. Mm. I watch you grow up. I watch you become this motherfucking king that you are. You know, I remember when you were just a young wild prince with the poster dog crew. You know what I mean?
Got that tattoo.
You still got the... Yo, what the fuck is up with sport? You still got sport?
You know, sport was the logo.
I know!
I got the logo before I... Look, that's the logo right there. And I got the logo, and then I was like, I need a dog to match my company's logo. That is actually a little microcosm of the way that I think. I want everyone to understand. Now, I love this creature, and I will love this dog for all of time. But just understand that it was designed. I only picked it to match my fucking logo, which was tattooed on my leg. That's how passionate I am, and that's how committed I am to fucking branding. Sport is alive. My son's mother has sport, and they have adopted him.
Okay.
It's a good life that he's got.
Okay.
Sport
deserved a good life.
I was going to save the fight talk for a minute.
All right, save the fight talk.
No, hold on.
I just want to get right back. Because I don't think we really, really niched this in the thing. Because I don't want to revisit this shit again with you. I don't do the dick suck shit at all. Don't line your man to get fucked up either. You understand what I'm
saying?
He's
not my man. We date. I mean, but
I'm just letting you know because
he can get
Kevin
me on your mind.
Almost got Brian P. McCarthy fucked up, and this is before I knew he was blind.
What happened?
Because
beat up a blind man.
I don't give man, woman, child, young,
he didn't
old,
know whose dick he was sucking.
Handicapped. I don't give a fuck. If you think you about that mess and you willing to do it, guess what? I'm going to step through that threshold.
Okay. So listen, let's talk about this.
And that's a fact.
So, but can I tell you my perspective?
Yeah.
It seems a little homophobic.
It's not even. No, it's the disrespect.
I don't think it's disrespectful to make
it
a gay
is.
Joke.
It is disrespectful. Why would
I
you tell
a whole career out of making gay jokes?
No, it's not even. Well, first of all,
I wouldn't call it a career, but go ahead.
All I'm saying, man, is that, yo, homie.
I got to pick my sides on this one.
I could dig it, but I'm just not with it.
I get it. And, well, no, look, and I respect that, and I understand
that. Yeah, man.
Okay?
Please do, man.
It's not a problem.
You know, don't get me wrong. I've been around it. I've been on Warped Tour where these white boys is playing these crazy gay games, like gay
Harrington.
Chicken.
Harrington, yeah. Put a Knicks on the whole fucking penis hat bit we were gonna do. We're gonna bring it was a whole thing. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Jesus. I spent 40 minutes at Party City getting those dicks ready.
Yeah. And
you're a terrible actor.
God damn it, Jimmy.
Me? Yeah, I know.
No, thanks.
This is why I never get booked for
Harrington,
anything. You're right.
Thanks.
Me and Harrington, that was a microcosm as to where my career's at, right there. Real quick, I gotta tell you guys about People's Choice Beef Jerky, which I love, dude. I'm back. My fitness goals are being set. I'm ready to move forward on this journey to get back in shape. And everyone knows the best way to do it is to have a lot of protein, get to the gym, cut out all that sugar and all that bullshit. And if you like to snack, beef jerky is one of the best snacks. I've been eating beef jerky for years. I love it. It's one of my favorite snacks in the world.
Every time we're on the road,
that's what I do.
Stop multiple times for beef.
I get a bag of beef jerky, a bag of nuts, and a fucking protein drink. That's like my go-to snack, okay? Well, People's Choice Beef Jerky is a family business from California. They've been making quality jerky for over 85 years. Unlike mass-produced beef jerky, People's Choice Beef Jerky is marinated, sliced, and cooked by hand. It's soft, it's chewy, it's delicious. It's not like that bagged bullshit. It tastes like fucking plastic that you're chewing on. It's unbelievably tasty. I love the, I'm a spicy jerky guy. They have the habanero one, which was fucking unbelievable, but all the flavors are great. They sent me an entire package, so everything that I tried was incredible. We all snack on it here. It's a high protein snack. Keep it in your desk at work, keep it in school, whatever you need. It's a new year. Start it out right with People's Choice handcrafted premium beef jerky. So go to peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. That is peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. And if you use promo code RAP15, check this out. Oh my God. We're not fucking around, guys. You're saving 15%. You're eating delicious, salty, savory meat and saving 15%. You're changing your life right now with beef jerky. We're not fucking around here, okay? Once again, that is promo code RAP15 at peopleschoicebeefjerky.com. Start snacking. Let them know we sent you there. All right, let's get back into it. So, Jim, here's the, I didn't say I wanted to fight you. What did you hear? I want to know your perspective, because I saw a tweet from you that said, oh, shit, really? There's some money? Like, that's all it takes. All it takes for Jimmy Martinez to want to fight his friend is a little bit of fucking cash on the line.
This is what I heard. This is what I heard, right? Everybody on Twitter, on IG, you put down some gloves, and I got tagged in some shit. I was like, what the fuck is this? And what's going on? Why is this?
See, look, right there. Yeah, how much? What?
I'm like,
so I saw that.
Hold on. You saw that.
Right.
What the fuck you mean you saw that? Nigga, you said all of this shit. The fuck you mean you saw what? I saw it. And then I had to respond. The fuck am I just going to sit back in the motherfucking background and just be like, oh, they're talking about me. Nah, listen. And I was just like, whoa. I was still getting bits and pieces because, you know, I don't listen to podcasts. Like, once I do a podcast, I fuck with my niggas.
Yeah.
I just do it and then it's out in the air. I don't go and look and see when it's coming out or what. I don't do none of that shit. It's just out there. So I'm getting bits and pieces. One of my producers was like, dude, this is what everyone's talking about.
Black Mike, because he's an instigator. There's no doubt it's Black Mike.
Actually,
100% positive.
Actually, it was G-Money.
G-Money, you scumbag. Instigating G-Money. Okay.
Hey, yo, so.
Here we go.
So check it out. He go, yo, Jim, this is what they're talking about. And bro, we everybody know, all the firing squad members know, we do an episode a week before we drop. And once again, before I go back into the story, I know I Quentin Tarantino a lot, but I need y'all.
Say the N-word.
He does. That was funny. I just want to... y'all to know here, really, at the Real Ass Dude podcast, that Luis Gomez really Luis J. Gomez, the rattlesnake, the Puerto Rican rattlesnake, he helped me put this movement together. Like, he helped me find my team and everything with the whole fire and hole. So I'm forever grateful. Like, people don't even know, like, you're my real little brother.
No,
they
like,
don't like
we me and
family.
Jimmy,
like,
Jimmy knew me maybe before I started doing comedy. Like, maybe like right when I started.
Yeah,
like, because I was producing shows in New York. People don't even, you might have only known me, it might have blended together, so you might not even have known. I might have booked you on some shows before I even got on stage. I started hosting my own shows after I was producing shows just to save money on a host and fucking, I wanted to do it, but I never really wanted to jump in. So you knew me at the very, very, very beginning. And I, you know, Jimmy was somebody that I was putting on shows that I, you know, literally always closing out my shows because you're a fucking killer. You had a way with white people that I had noticed that other black and Hispanic or urban acts didn't. It was a different thing because it's different than mainstream. Like, you see, you know, Kevin Hart crosses over to mainstream appeal. It's not that.
white people want you to like them. I said this years ago, years and years and years ago. It's a fucking strange thing. When Jimmy's there, there's something about it. I watch these white kids go, they really want Jimmy to like them. And this is why you worked well on Warped Tour. You went on these metal tours with heavy metal
Taste
bands.
Of Chaos.
And, yeah, dude, you even sang with them. I remember, you don't remember, you showed me that demo you fucking sang.
Fucking scream, Funeral for a Friend.
That Screamcore shit, dog. You don't remember any of this shit.
I showed you that shit?
We are old school friends. So, you know, but we got to keep it real at the same time. So you're hearing about all this.
So I'm hearing all of these things, and then G Money sends me a clip.
Oh, he fucking did work. He edited. He used his talents for evil. Wow. G Money's a scumbag.
I go, I look at it, and I got to say this. No, you didn't initially, like, you know, let's get, Jimmy. That's my next opponent. And it was a young lady from the crowd that yelled it out. Okay. And then the whole,
I don't even remember, by the way, how
it
came up.
I do. Because, nigga, it was, I slept on it. I was
never unhear this.
This is great. The rattlesnake wants me. Ravishing Rick Rude wants me. What did I do? And I'm looking at Big J Hokerson and all these niggas trying to lead you into of the course. Lions.
Well, he's
den.
An instigator, Big J.
Yeah, he is. And Dave Smith, that fucking lunatic. And I'm like, Wait a moment. He mentioned $20,000. $20,000.
Gomez Challenge. You know the Gracie Challenge was for $1 million? Any comedian untrained comes in and can beat me, $20,000. Don't hit me right now.
No, I'm not. I might just have to save this one for the ring, bro. Because
so that was what you heard. You heard
I heard
the number
$20,000. You don't know what that's going to do in the hood.
Yeah,
I'm going to reinvest that right back in the hood.
Of course, we're going to
niggas going to be set. Yo, there's
going to
be eighths for motherfucking $20. Yeah, Luis Gomez is about to do the hood. Good, y'all hear me? And let me see.
You know
something.
What 80,000 quarter waters look like?
This motherfucker. Yo, Zach is funny. I don't give a fuck what he has to say.
Zach's a sniper. He says 12 words per show, but they're all funny. It's all economics.
That
I know Dave Smith is the automatic. He's the revolver.
Yeah. He fucking pop. That's it.
Check it out. So when I heard it, I'm like, wow, wait a moment. This would be really, really dope. We could really make something of this. You know, Hulk Hogan just getting back into the motherfucking wrestling game. I'm a huge Hulk Hogan fan. You know, I was just watching The Princess Bride last weekend. So, you know, Andre the Giant is fresh on my motherfucking heart and mind. All right. But then I thought about the training. Am I willing to get back in the gym? Well, I don't really go to the gym. I work out in the park with the bars and shit like that.
Yeah.
And
he raps.
And straight jail workout, you know. Am I willing to get back into that place? Because I'm kind of feeling my new stomach coming back.
Yeah.
You know? And then I said for 20 grand.
Fuck yeah, you would.
This might be something right here. So this is what I decided. All right. If they want to make this happen, because it's not that I want to fight my little brother, one of my best friends in the game, you know, it's not one of that. But for 20 grand, we go shake it up. But the only way this deal is going to happen is if we get 100 subscribers to our Patreon wall at Fire in a Hole. On our side. That's me signing the contract. We get 100 subscribers over there. You got yourself a component.
No, I like component. That's what I want.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what I would like.
Yeah. I'll be.
Well, let me say this, okay?
Okay. 20,000. And plus, with 20,000, I'm also saving Kurt Metzger from an ass whooping.
Well, all right. So let me back this up. So this is where it all came down from. And I'll tell you where that number came from. And I'll tell you where, you know, how And I'm thinking about this fight, Jim. This is not a bad fight. This is not a bad fight for me, okay?
This is
my
actually...
girlfriend said to me, don't fight Jimmy Martinez. And then I looked at her like Rocky looked at Adrian.
Oh, my God!
When she told him not to go to Russia.
This is when he was running in the park yeah, on dude. The beach with him and Apollo. Oh, my
God. Dude, I threw my helmet at a statue that I have of myself in the front of
I'm
my
scared,
house.
I'm scared, Adrian. That's why I said it. I'm scared.
Push Kim on a bag.
How does it make you feel, huh? You think it's easy? You think it's easy to say I'm scared?
I took her to the zoo. Listen, she goes, no, don't fight Jim. And I was like, all right, first of all, okay, I fear no man, okay? I am the Puerto Rican model, like the real ass dude.
Can't.
There's no part of me that is afraid of any fight. Now, let me explain to you. Kurt Metzger was the guy that I thought that if we could put together that fight, I think enough people would buy it. I think they would want to see that because me and him had that crazy thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not going to go do something like that. There's no way. You got to be a little crazy to do something like that. And he's not that type of crazy. He's a fucking plead. You got to stop sucking the lollipop on the. Sorry. It's going to kill plus, everybody.
I'm sorry. And plus, we're both martial artists.
Well, no, I'm not a martial artist. I don't have that much experience. Well, I want to talk to you about your background too. Give me a second because we're going to talk stats. We're going to talk everything in a second. Okay. Yeah. So then your name was floated. And it's just sort of a crazy thought. And, you know, we were kind of, you know, joking around about it. But the more people started talking about it, the more I started going, well, wait a minute, that could actually be something that it's an interesting challenge because you are a very tough person. Ryan O'Neal, who I fought, which, by the way, if you want to just in the background throw in some highlights of that fight, that's not even a problem. Keep the volume off.
But I didn't see the fight, but I would love to see the shit.
So Ryan O'Neal was a black belt in Taekwondo, but he wasn't the same type of toughness. And I said this very early on in the training. I was like, I just think that I don't care how many karate classes you go to, you start off with a certain level of toughness. And I just believe that I was tougher than him. You know what I'm saying? Just on a baseline level. Okay, so you, I think, right now, if me and you got into a fist fight in the street, Jimmy, I think you would win a fist fight in the street with me. I just think that that's the way it would go down. I think you are just a maniac. But I think that, hold on, I don't think he's paying attention to what I'm saying. He's watching.
Yo, Lewis, wow, look at you.
Oh, yeah, we don't fuck around here. It gets a little crazier. You'll see. Right here in a moment, I mount him. Really focusing on it.
Shit. Wait a moment. Wait a moment.
There we go.
Wait a moment, Producer Mike. This Producer nigga Mike. Trying to get me to walk into a booby trap.
Boom.
Wait till you see the second.
This is a UFC fight.
Oh, yeah. It's MMA we'd be doing, Jim. It's everything. Jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, Taekwondo, boxing, anal sex, a little bit kissing each other's dicks. Now I'm trying to get in his head. That's what I'm going to do the whole lead up to the fight is just make gay jokes to him. Get him angry. He doesn't fight one when he's angry. He starts to fight. He gets emotional. Jimmy needs to be calm, cool, and collected. So, all right, you can end it now. So, here's the deal.
The rest of the fight sucks dick. Don't show him that fight. It's just Lewis tired, swinging at nothing.
Hey, I won that fight. So, I think that you pose some really interesting challenges. How tall are you?
6'5".
How much do you weigh right now?
234.
6'5". What is your martial arts background? You got to stop sucking that lollipop.
Jep is...
It's not a lollipop. For the audio listeners, it's actually a penis. That sound that he's making, it's a wet dick in his mouth.
Japanese Shotokan and Chinese Goju.
Japanese, and how long did you do martial arts for?
Like 5 years.
Okay, but that's enough. You know, when it was like full contact, what was the deal? You were sparring and doing shit like that? Because we fucked around before and you do know some fucking shit. You know how to use your body in a way where it would pose some interesting challenges. The power would be fucking there. But there's something about me that people don't realize. When I have a goal in mind, there's nothing in the world that's going to stop me from achieving that goal. And I love you, Jim, but I don't think that 5 years of Shotokan and some fucking dips in a park are going to be enough of a game plan to come up against what I would do. I would put together a game plan. I would put together a team. I would put together, I would train obsessively for months. You would have to be willing to do that. We would come down, probably fight at like 215, 210 pounds. We'd have to come up with a weight class that would make sense. It would be a real, real commitment. Now, the $20,000 number, that's sort of thrown out of my ass. I'm just doing math. I know what I made on the fight at Ellis Mania, and that wasn't even my event. right? That was somebody else's event. I just know what I made and what I made with sponsors. And when, once I did my due diligence, I know what I walked away from. So I think that if we did it the right way, if we did it the right way, I think we can make enough money to fucking, yeah, those numbers aren't crazy. That's not a crazy number. Arie Shaffir wants to fight Sam Tripoli as well on the card. I want to do a whole comedian fight night. So, but you would have, if you wanted to do it, Jim, you would have to commit because it's different. It's not a street fight. Like I said, you could beat me in a street fight. But if we are just putting our bodies to the test, two men walk into a cage, one man walks out, who's going to put together the game plan? I think that I just...
The one who used to live in a cage?
Look, he's walked out of cages more often than I have. You're right. I'll give him that. But I just think there's something about, I've done it before as well. I've just gone through that process already. I'm very confident that I could win that fight, but I do like the challenge of it, and I would accept it. I think if we did it, look, we could probably get you 100 subscribers for Patreon. That's not an issue. But if we did it, you know, I'd want to know that you would want to commit on that level, because it wouldn't be just fucking around one day. Because if you fucked around like Ryan O'Neal did, could be a fucking short night for you, my friend. Long night? I said it wrong. It's going to be a long night for you, my friend. Edit that. Edit. It's going to be a long night for you, my friend.
Well, Lewis, you notice I didn't say shit while you was doing your spell, right? Yeah.
Because you're just thinking all the ways he's going to fuck you up.
I'm just sitting here. I love to hear.
I just picture him bashing you on the top of the head as you slowly go into the ground.
I just picture him throwing barrels at me as I jump over them.
Mm-hmm. I would commit. I would get the weight class down to what it's supposed to be. 20 grand. I'm going, nigga, that's right on time for the hood, bro. You really don't know. I'm opening up a hood dispensary, nigga, apartment 2CB.
Don't tell me, 2CB? Is that, or?
Nah, B is the adjective, nigga.
I know.
But let's do it.
We're going to talk off air, obviously, about this.
See what we can set up. Let's figure this shit out, man.
See what we can set up. Know. I like that. Let me see your muscle right now. Let me feel it. He's a fucking monster. You guys got to understand. Jimmy Martinez, we're not fucking around when we say this. He is an intimidating, terrifying man. Jimmy, there's a story about how you got into a fight with a bunch of guys outside of the Boston Comedy Club, and one of them stabbed you.
Oh, no. That was in the BBQ. That's up in the Bronx. Yeah.
What happened when you got into a fight with a group and they stabbed you? What happened?
Well, there was this crazy comedy night up in the Bronx. It used to be every Saturday at midnight. Packed the fuck out.
It was a Friday like show.
It was like a gladiator, like
hilarious.
Like in an arena. You was in the middle of pandemonium.
Yeah.
Okay. Like 300, 400 people there. And some Bronx BBQ shit. Man.
And it's all black people. Yeah, it's blacks, hood. It's not, it's hood. But it's not like fucking you go to Seattle in an urban show. This is like the Bronx.
Nah, straight niggered out, bro. All right?
You're saying what you're all thinking, guys. Fire on the whole podcast.
So we up in that bitch and I'm getting into my 1-2. You know, when niggas is out with they homies and shit like that, the bitches is out, you know, looking good. You know, bitches attract all sorts of elements because niggas be feeling like they got a front for these hoes, you know, and that was the situation. I'm up on stage doing my 1-2 and homie was yelling, and I was like, yo, beloved, yo, can you quiet down? We over here having a good time, yada, 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 yada. Instantly, this nigga yells out, yo, suck my dick. You already know.
This is the biggest amount of disrespect you can give to another black man in the hood.
You already know,
bro. The room, the record scratches.
My nigga, like, the whole room just, like
he's gotta kill
distasteful
him now. He's gotta kill him right now.
Nah, they was just looking at him, like, ooh, like, what's...
Were they on, they where weren't on his side.
Nah,
this is a BBQ's.
You know, so...
you were doing well, though. You weren't, like,
I wasn't
them.
Bombing or nothing like that.
If you're bombing, the crowd will turn on you.
Yeah, it's facts.
If you're not funny, you're not. That crowd will fucking...
It's over.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to tell no jokes.
They're not
going
to write a Yelp review. It's nothing like that. If you go to an urban room and you're bombing, you're going to be removed from the stage. You're not going to be able to finish.
Yo, you know what's crazy? You know who bitch ass was there talking about me on Power 105 when I, you know, I've been out here trying to clean up my image. Russell Peters was there that night.
Really?
He was performing that night at the Bronx BBQs. Okay. So, homie yells out, suck my dick. And I go, huh? Fuck you. Yo, my nigga, what you just did is equivalent to me coming on your block and smacking the shit out of you in front of all your friends on the stoop.
Yeah.
And the nigga said, well, then smack me. I said, come outside. Drop the mic.
You drop the mic. You're done.
And it's over.
I've been criticized for having that attitude before.
Yo, homie, this is, you know, of course, you know, we're older now and we understand the business a little bit differently. But the truth of the matter was, right then and there in that place and that time, it was like, yo, man, fuck that.
Yeah. And by the way,
I'm not getting discovered at the Bronx BBQ. Yeah. Only discovering I'm going to get is the motherfucking police looking for a nigga.
Yeah. Well, they...
It's a good place to start.
The Bronx BBQ. But you're right about that. And I think that... and everyone can relate to that. And I've said it was a thousand times.
I'm thinking it's one guy I'm about to fight.
Yeah.
And he's coming out. Yo, I swear to God, when he came out, then I saw two more guys come out as a pair.
And the starting lineup.
And yo, and that's what it was like. And yo, I swear to God, dude, I'm looking at this shit and
just
I'm like,
taller and taller.
Hold on. What? Now there's three of these niggas and I'm like, yo, I don't care as long as I get a fair one. Which one of y'all niggas is first? And the first nigga that came out said, nigga, you don't get no fair ones in the Bronx.
Wow.
Yo, son, right then and there. I said to myself, mental note, Jim, we have a problem.
Yeah.
There's no copping out here. There's no trying to talk your way out. We're going to have combat.
But right there, you need, there's no talking. There's no talking shit. There's no puffing your chest. You need to go.
Yo, Lewis, hold on. The rest of the niggas came out.
Oh, no.
It was like 13 of these motherfuckers.
That was
me.
Only their managers. Now the fighters are coming out.
Yo, Kareem Green tried to calm it down. Yeah. Comic Kareem Green from Queens,
Love
New York.
Kareem. And Kareem's a motherfucker that'll throw it down, too. Big J has a great story about how Kareem tried to fight a guy with a gun.
Yeah. Yo, bro. Kareem would.
I know.
Kareem Green would.
Kareem's down.
Hey, yo, man. Doc, when I realized this, because this is what happens. When I know I'm about to initiate into some sort of combat and this is unwarranted, like,
you start sucking on a lollipop? Like, ah, fuck.
Bro, I start speaking very clear and concise. So you understand. There's no more hood talk.
Yeah.
I'm calling you sir. I'm asking you to stay out of my perimeter.
Yeah.
I'm starting to talk like that.
Yeah.
And when you start ignoring those warning signs.
Yeah.
Bro, you mess with the ball, you get the horns. And that's what the fuck happened. When Kareem Green saw the first thing with the first motherfucker, how I flipped that nigga in the air.
Was
in the air.
Jimmy, you got a problem.
He look at Kareem Green. Got the little outfit on. That's my man. That's my motherfucker.
That was such
man.
An old school way of doing a headshot with a microphone.
Like, oh my God. I hate it.
Every headshot. Did you bring your microphone?
Oh my God. That's just horrible. Yeah. I just hated those. But let me just say, man, I don't know, Lou. I don't know, man.
So what happened with the fight?
Fucked up like five of them off the rip.
Yeah.
I ran. This is what killed me. And for all you niggas thinking you gangsta and you hood niggas with your motherfucking pants sagging off your fucking ass, you stupid. Especially thinking you go get in a fight with your pants sagging
is
off
that
your
what, is that what killed you?
Yeah, that's what killed me, my
Should've
nigga.
Should have listened to Bill Cosby's advice.
You said what?
Bill Cosby's telling all the young black people to pull up their pants.
That's a fact.
Yep.
And I was shitting on
the
Bill.
Great Cosby.
You know?
It's a legend, bro. Got to separate, his art from the man.
Man,
you know?
Listen, we're all creatures. We're all dark.
Yeah.
I don't give
Some
a fuck.
Darker than others.
Nah, yeah, facts.
That is true.
Different tones.
Yeah.
But every last one of us is dark.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck when nobody's out here pumping or pushing. I love how they like to put the spotlight on everybody and all this wild shit. Homie, We all is this.
Well, and the people who pretend that they aren't are the ones you got to watch out. I was saying that about Ellen the other day, because Ellen is like, you know, the perfect celebrity. I was like, but this wasn't like internet and cell phone back in the 80s when Ellen was fucking fingering young girls in the back of cabs and fucking being a secret lesbian rapist, probably. I guarantee if you had a camera on everyone's darkest moment.
Everybody's fucked up, bro. Yeah, I'm looking at you, shorty. You sick too.
Everyone knows how fucked up I am.
I know he's
Jimmy.
A sicko. I know this motherfucker's a sicko. He's got a fucking hat and a fucking yellow shirt on.
It's true.
Yeah. I know you sick. But everybody's sick, man. How the fuck are we going to sit here and judge everybody's sickness?
Yeah. Especially if you were to like look at your most perverse thoughts, the things that if people were keeping it real more, it would be a better thing. And nobody... We used to have a society where everyone projects an image of them being perfect and pure.
Yeah,
and
niggas
righteous.
Is trying to live their avatar
people
lives.
Are, exactly. And people are obsessed with being right, and people are obsessed with having the answers. And every once in a while, you go like, I know nothing. I know nothing about politics or social issues. I don't pay attention. I don't read the books. I don't read the newspaper every day. I'm not that guy. So for me to sit here and act like I don't know anything except for the things that directly affect my life.
Facts.
And I know those things yes. better than most.
And the that's things, what we should be focused on.
Exactly. But most people aren't. Most people want to be the fucking master of everything.
Those are the ones that we should be more concerned about and watching these motherfuckers. I'm just over all of the sucker shit, man. I'm just over all of the sucker shit, man. Like, let me say this, B. You know, motherfuckers is afraid to say real shit to chicks. And I understand because niggas don't want to ruin their chances of fucking. But how you gonna know if you gonna get this pussy if you don't really shoot your shot? Say what the fuck is really on your mind, because women are more like us now than we are. That, yo, man, I swear to God, yo, this bitch fucked my brains out and left $60 on the motherfucking table, dog. Left me and
take
broke
a cab home, slut.
Like, no, this bitch left $60
no,
in my
house. No, I know.
House.
That's what she was saying to you. Oh, no, you, wait, why?
Yeah. At this your one, house. And she left me. So a couple of things made me feel insecure. Like,
I feel like Jimmy robbed this woman, and now he's trying to set it up. Like, no, she left it. Look, I'm telling my friends
Why? Because I'm black?
Yes.
Why? Oh, okay. He said yes.
Yes. Exactly.
That's exactly why. Nah, man. But yo, women want niggas to say real shit to them, man.
Yeah.
Real niggas do dirty shit to pretty bitches, B.
Well, it's a thing. Like, I used to be very... I want to say aggressive sexually. I used to be into like grabbing a woman, you know, putting her against the wall, kissing her passionately.
That shit, that's in.
Grabbing her neck, doggy. No, I can't. I don't fuck with any of that shit. When I was single and hooking up with chicks, it's a different time. I'm not having anything that I do be misconstrued and have number one my career possibly ruined. Number two, have. You know, the image, I should even say, no, number one, honestly, having my image to my son be, you know, really marred. You think about that, like with the Louis thing, I think about the way that his like family looks at him or the way that his daughters look at him. And it's like, I don't know exactly how some of the women look at him in his family. And that's kind of like, I don't want my son to ever fucking.
But, you know, here's the thing, man. A chick knows, man. Like a lot of this Me Too shit right now is just bitches getting back at niggas, man.
Oh, yeah, for
straight
sure.
the fuck up.
For
they,
sure.
Yo, this bitch is ruining this whole Me Too movement.
Yeah.
You know, like I hear y'all, but man, fuck out of here. How's the Me Too movement superseding the motherfucking civil rights movement?
Yeah.
Like, yo, homie, you know we could get into all that shit, man.
You guys got a black
person. How the fuck I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. But we're not going to play these sucker games. Like, that's why, Lewis, I agree 100% with you. Like, the things that affect me directly in my life are the things I like to focus on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know my views on racism.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just bullshit. This shit was designed, and it's a trick to keep us the fuck away from each other.
Right.
Like, I know what it's really hitting for. Like, homie... For us to sit back and really put in that energy to act like what other people is doing that's more important than the shit that you're supposed to be doing in your life, that goes to show you ain't got no fucking life.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. People that are in the business, this is like, we've created industries out of it. The business of creating clickbait blogs, like, if that's your whole existence, is you write blogs based off of bullshit, and you're just sort of like, it's like kind of like fake journalism. You're not a real writer. You're just sort of like, you're just a person who's sitting on your ass, and you're, I don't know, it's just a very, like, weird, it's a very weird industry that sort of creates people that aren't doing anything, but feel more like they're doing something than anybody else. And we get a little bit of every day in life, mm-hmm. when people are posting shit on social media or clicking or liking things on social media, but actual bloggers and people that spend their fucking lives doing that, it's infuriating. All right, I got to talk about Beachbody On Demand. This is it. It's the time of year. It's January. Everyone's trying to get back in shape right now. And the biggest issue with getting back in shape is getting to the gym, finding the time to get to the gym, being motivated to get to the gym, knowing what to do, knowing what you're doing is working, not doing the same workout routine that you've done for year after year after year, plateauing and not knowing something new to do is such a huge problem. Beachbody On Demand is going to change the way that you think about working out, because what they have is an amazing platform that is a streaming service that gives you instant access to a wide variety of super effective workouts you can do from the comfort of your living room, hotel room, anywhere you want. Okay, you've heard a lot of these programs, P90X, Insanity, 21 Day Fix, T25, Brazilian Butt Lift, which I really have to do because my butt fucking sucks, Celebrity Trainers.
It's not a butt as much as it's more leg.
It's just a big flabby fat piece of fucking disgustingness and it needs to change. I need to do Brazilian Butt Lift, okay? Celebrity Trainers, they have a nutritional program because you need to have good nutrition in order to be in shape, okay? And here's the coolest part of all, okay? If you guys go right now and text the word REAL, R-E-A-L, to 303030, they're going to give you a free trial membership. Free trial membership, including their new 14-day results plan, where you can lose up to 9 pounds in the first 2 weeks. So text right now, REAL, to 303030. And you get a free trial, absolutely free. Check out this platform. It is super convenient and easy to use. I'm telling you right now, the best shape I've ever been in my entire life is when I did Insanity. I did the entire program. This is what I need to start doing, honestly. To get in shape for a fight, I need to do something like Insanity, because it is probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. But go check it out. Try it out for free. See how many different programs they have. They have workouts as low as 15 minutes, 10 minutes, so you can get back in shape very quickly and in a very convenient way. Once again, text the word REAL to 303030. All right, where were we? I wanted to talk about this because we're just moving through the show very quickly. I had another issue. We're talking about the Me Too movement, and you know, I tweeted this earlier today, and I've talked about this many a times, and I started empathizing with the Me Too movement recently, very recently, because I used to say believe all men. You know, if a woman accused a man of rape, I would say, hey, doggy, we got a question. What's going on here? What are her motives, you know?
Facts.
But I've softened my stance slightly. And that's because I'm an Equinox member. I go to the steam room regularly. And there are homosexuals that masturbate at me just at alarming rates. They love to jerk off at me. I don't know what it is that I'm not even hot. I'm just as fat as I've been. I weigh
you're 40, attainable.
That is true as well. They're like, you know what? This guy will probably suck my dick in the steam room. So they pull their dick out and they start jerking off at me. Now, you know,
so you're a modern day fucking Mark Wahlberg in Boogie Nights out this bitch.
Well, no, I don't actually.
Paid.
Yeah, I don't do anything with the dicks. They just want to fucking. They're trying to come at me. So I complained about it recently to the One Equinox, and they fucking got rid of the member. And I talked about this on the show. It was like a couple days later. I had another guy touch his dick and like start jerking it at me, and then I called him out on it, and he was like, "Oh, you don't know the difference between a leg and a dick," or. He just kind of made a comment like that, and I was like, I don't want to be the guy going again 2 days later to the manager of Equinox and saying another guy. It's like, now I'm starting to go like, wow, I understand where women are getting like harassed at work, and the attitude of like, I don't want to cause a problem. It's just I just complained about this other
You're
thing.
The girl it's open micer of Equinox.
Yes,
I really yo, my nigga, yo, homie, but
Bergie, it's a weird fucking stance to be.
I know.
So the whole thing is women can't like, you know, fight off these guys. So there's this weird feeling of like, you know, so it's a different experience. But there's also a thing where a guy like me, where I'm a big fucking guy, I'm a New York kind of attitude. I don't want to be perceived as this like a hateful, homophobic guy. But the reality is like I'm thinking that, so I'm like, how I'm handling it, like I don't want to be aggressive with the guy, so I just said that, and then I said, let me fucking leave it alone, fine, whatever. So the guy, I ignore the guy. So not, that wasn't it. Today I'm in the fucking shower, okay? Soaping my dick up, soaping my asshole up, right? I look, there's a crack along the wall in the shower thing between the stalls. I shit you not, dude. I see an eye and a fucking nose looking, peering like this.
Oh, like The Shining.
Yes.
Here's faggot.
Doggy, like that. And I see this and I was like, what the fuck? So I finish showering and I wait outside of the shower stall. I'm like, I gotta see who the fuck is staring. Now, once again, I'm not even above this action. If there was a hot chick in the shower stall next to me, I gotta be honest with you. And I could just peek in like that. I'm not above this, but it's making me look at life in a different way because that's some creepy shit. Okay,
when I'm dude, if there was a girl three floors above here that showered in the window, I would walk away from Tommy Dreamer mid sentence because somebody came and got me to see her tits. Hypothetically, if that happens, the other
night.
How great
are those tits?
Yo, dog. If you...
But it's fucking creepy. So. I wait outside of the thing. Guess who opens the fucking stall? Fucking dick grabber that said it was his thigh. Same
shit.
Fucking guy. Same fucking predatory ass. I'll show you a picture of him right now.
Oh, shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
So then I was going to go complain, but they were doing like a national walkthrough. And I used to work at Equinox, so I know the managers are, you know, they're trying to make sure everything's perfect. And this is the fucking shit part. The manager of this place is a friend of mine's wife's husband. So I know on kind of a personal level. So I'm just trying to go like, all right, I don't want to fucking make it a big deal. But then I sent them
a friend of yours wife's dad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Friend of mine's wife's dad. It's his father-in-law. But I go up to the guy in the locker room and I approach him and I was like, dude, I was like, why are you peeking through the fucking thing at me? I was like, what is wrong with you? I was like, this is the second time, the last time. And actually, he's just staring at me with like an attitude. Like, and I'm like, I was like, I forget exactly what I said, but I was like, do you get it? And he goes, he's just like looking at me. He's like, and I was like, cool, I'll talk to the manager of the club. And I took a picture of him. Look at this fucking, he looks like he, look at him.
Oh, no.
Doesn't he look exactly like a guy who'd be jerking off at you?
Yeah, that's,
He looks like Malcolm McDowell from Clockwork Orange. Look at him. But I'm like a woman. I'm going, click, look at my predator, click.
Hey, yo, but bro, you got it. Yo, homie.
I emailed the manager of the club.
Crazy, bro.
Check it out. I emailed the manager of the club. And then he emailed back. He's like, I was on my radar now. Like, you know, Doug, I'm telling you right now, this is getting fucking crazy. That's what it looked like. That was what the face looked like. Imagine that was peering through the bathroom stall.
Fucking, listen to me, man. Women got it crazy, bro.
Yeah, they do.
Homie, whenever bitches say what they saying, bro, I never want them off. You know, because I know niggas. Niggas is creeps.
Yeah.
Niggas is creeps out here, dog. Like, yo, man, let me tell you something. You think that's a weird story, homie? My man was in Atlanta. Duffel bag nigga, dog. In the street nigga getting money. All right? He's down in Atlanta getting his 1-2 on. You know?
Can you just translate all of that for the fans?
Okay. For
the duffel bag nigga getting his 1-2 on. Just what does that mean, essentially? I get it. I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
But for the whites that are out there.
He's a drug dealer. Okay?
He's a drug dealer.
And he's very popular in the streets. All right? This nigga down in Atlanta in the club. All right? Popping. Niggas is in VIP. You know, motherfucking young jock down there, scrappy, everybody, you know, niggas is down there, you know. They're shooting that, Queen Latifah shooting her television show at the time down there that was Stacey Dash was in. And my man.
Living single.
No, I think there was something like that.
No, it's the other one. I forget it, but continue.
But he up in the club in the VIP section. Mad bitches, all mad bottles. It's popping. Some nigga in there. Him and the nigga start talking. He thinking the nigga mad cool. Nigga kind of buff and shit like that. And
I want to get some workout tips from this guy.
So the nigga was like kind of took like a security guard position on his own.
Just weirdly in the night.
like
they're just chilling in this VIP.
It's VIP, you know, but it's still mad packed in VIP, and he just automatically became my nigga's security guard.
The buff guy.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of with him, and he's like, yo, back up.
Chill, you know.
So now your boy's kind of going like, yo, I really like that. He's feeding his ego.
Facts.
Right, I get it.
Super facts.
Yeah.
But what he was saying was, get away. This is my man.
Nah, well, in a way, that not for nothing, Zach, that's what... Listen, the story gets crazy, my G. My nigga, this is why I'm telling you, niggas is predators. I know, because they figure out different ways to be predators.
I know. I've been a victim of this predatory behavior multiple times in my life. Yeah,
okay, me too. Me too. I talk about
hashtag.
Wow.
That's where it came from, baby.
That's what
That was it. It was a conversation between two ugly bitches who should have been thankful for the attention they were giving me.
A conversation between one pretty girl.
No, don't say that.
It was one pretty girl and then every other girl going, me too!
So, listen. These niggas start arm wrestling in the club.
That is the gayest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yo, homie. You know, cause my nigga tough nigga, he been up north all that shit. You know, he work out. He like
he's all over the top.
So yeah, no doubt, no motherfucking doubt. So the nigga motherfucking arm wrestling my man, and you know they smoking weed, drinking and shit, and my man just kind of got like a little motherfucking like
a feeling
tired and shit like that.
Tired.
And he ended up sitting down and like
he had a big meal
kind of like taking a nap and shit like that in the club while you know all his niggas and all that shit. So homie woke my man
and
up.
And security's like, hey, no, I got him. Don't worry, everyone. He,
facts type shit.
Right.
And wakes the nigga up. Was
he's
like,
tired.
Yo,
it's weird.
Let's go outside, get some fresh air, blahzy, blah, blah, blah. My man's like, yo, fuck that. Yeah, I need to get outside the club. He gets outside the club getting fresh air. The nigga like, yo, you've been to Atlanta before? He's like, nah, where the bitches at? Where the hood at? He was like, here, let me show you around. The nigga driving the nigga around to my man. He thought he was sightseeing. But to this predator, he's got a destination. And this is where he's taking him.
His butthole.
I don't know all about that. It took him to his house.
Yeah, you can't really put that in the GPS.
Okay, so when he gets to the nigga crib, you know, they get the smoking and shit like that.
Now, I got to say something. Hold on. I don't want to be an asshole.
Listen,
here.
Hold on.
Your boy was a girl, I'd be going like, well, why would you go back to his house? I'm just saying.
I know. This is how the Me Too movement got us thinking. But
what was he doing?
You
he
ain't thinking arm nothing. Wrestled him at the bar and then went home.
It gets crazier. Nigga, it gets crazier, dog. Homie.
They get back to the house.
They get back to
one,
the house.
One, two, three,
and
four. I declare a fucking thumb war.
This is why I don't got a co-host on my show. I don't need niggas saying whack shit in the middle of a story. You know what I mean? Sorry, homie, but you know, when
I'm
trying to.
He snipes. You got to give him the opportunity.
No, he gets his moment.
Let him do what he does.
I understand this, but this is why
I
don't have a co-host. I need to get my. I got 80.
If you
day.
Did, we might know why you got stabbed in that story from a half an hour ago.
He said what?
He said we wouldn't know how you got stabbed because you never finished the story.
I never finished the story. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about because niggas say shit and I get ADD and I'm going off.
But you know what? That's why they love us. It's honest.
I don't give a fuck. But
okay, continue.
The reason why I don't have a motherfucking co-host is because ain't nobody coming in my cockpit. Take control of the plane to take us down.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got a fucking box cutter. He's got a fucking towel around his head. Zach, just stop. Just stop, Zach. Let us fucking get to our destination.
Yo, so these niggas, and no, Zach, keep going. I want you to find your rhythm, find your shot, dog. Nigga, they start arm wrestling again in the nigga house.
Oh, no.
And this is where the shit get wild.
And here's the real problem. It was the straight guy's idea, too, because he lost the first arm wrestling. So he brought it up. He was like, you know what? I can get you.
Nah. You know what? The niggas bet the nigga $3,000 that he can beat him again. And my bro was like, you know what, nigga? $3,000? I'm up now. I'm ready.
This is like you with the 20 grand. Same exact thing.
Let's go. The nigga lost the 3 grand.
Wait, who, the straight guy or the gay guy?
The straight guy lost the three grand.
He lost a lot.
My nigga lost the 3 grand.
Oh, no.
He wants to bet him again.
Double or nothing.
Lose again.
6 grand.
Goes again.
No. Double or nothing, or just like another?
No, another one.
Lose anal again. Virginity. Put it on.
Lose again. He fucking, now he's 9,000 in the hole. And these are, he's saying that they were fucking drawn out duels. Like, he's like tussling with this nigga. And, you know, coming real close, battling back and forth.
And then this whole time he thinks he's probably not being hustled by this guy. Because that's what I would think.
He wasn't hustling him financially. He was hustling his strength because the nigga ended up taking advantage of him. He had no more strength in his right arm to fend this nigga off when he made his move on him.
Yeah,
this is a real story, dog. My nigga was molested through arm wrestling. So now when niggas ask me, yo, Jim, you want to arm wrestle? The first thing I look at is what their motives are.
Right.
Where, you know, because that was an offbeat setting to start the wrestling, arm wrestling match in the nightclub, in the VIP lounge.
That is strange. I think you don't have to really worry about it. I don't think arm wrestling rape is a regular thing that's happening.
That was it was a unique angle. This is why I'm saying bitches need to be aware. Niggas is, they got different. R. Kelly, his angle was his voice, nigga.
I don't even know the story. I gotta watch
R. Kelly. But I don't really, I didn't watch the documentary. I don't give a fuck about that shit.
The documentary came out and the police are now investigating him. I don't even know. The only thing I read, in fact, you know what? Fuck it. Let's guess the news. Ladies and gentlemen, time to guess the news on R. Kelly.
It's time for another edition of Guess the News.
I have to get more information. I shouldn't have read just this headline. From the headlines that I've read, this man is innocent. He is the victim.
Man, these guys don't know shit.
Robert Kelly.
Dude.
He's gonna die soon, probably. He's got pretty big. Now, R. Kelly. R&B musician, notorious teen pisser. I don't know anything about this. I heard that there's a bunch of chicks that have come out and said that he sort of manipulated them and held them captive. What do we know about this? This is why I'm just guessing that he's a fucking creep, likes to prey on young chicks. You know? Do we know anything, Zach?
The one chick that's the main chick got out and then flew back to be with him again. So I don't know how much I believe.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hey, yo,
what do you know about it?
I don't really know a lot, but everybody know R. Kelly was wilding in the community for years, man. Why everybody acting like this shit brand new?
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with people? Yo, this is why I got time for the bullshit, man. Like, everybody know R. Kelly fuck with kids, man.
Yeah, there was a video of him pissing on the 14-year-old
fuck out of here, right? Man. I don't give y'all news and all that whack shit. These niggas trying to act like y'all trying to distract niggas from the other shit. Harvey Weinstein. The Catholic Church?
I think they're all talking about that, too.
My nigga, no. But they ain't talking about it. How they talking about R. Kelly?
That's not true. I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
Yo, hold
I
me.
Think, let me say this.
When was the last time you heard about Harvey Weinstein?
It's just old news now. At this point, it's not sexy.
But my nigga, it's old news with R. Kelly.
It was Louis C.K. No, a documentary came out a couple days ago. That's why people are talking about it.
Yo, my nigga, but come on. Y'all reinventing something that's old. This is old news. This is old news, B.
I don't know what your point is. What's your point, though?
My point is, you saying that it's old, or Harvey Weinstein is old news. No, my nigga. Let's keep the magnifying glass on all these pedophiles.
Well, I don't think Harvey Weinstein was a pedophile. Harvey Weinstein was just fucking a creep.
Man, nigga. All right, Charlie Sheen. Let's focus on him. Let's focus on motherfucking Woody Allen. Y'all niggas don't want to talk about none of these other motherfuckers that are in the same situation.
Are you talking about me?
R. Kelly.
Motherfucker, do you not you don't listen to the show. I've talked about
to the show.
Every person you've named.
I'm talking about the media.
Right.
How the media is magnifying just this R. Kelly shit right now.
It's just that, once again, it's the flavor of the week. It's what is going on right now. Next week, it'll be Louis C.K. again. The week after
But do you understand that how we let these niggas dictate the pace?
But I don't think
because
that
because we know about this already.
I don't think that... I don't really understand the point you're making about R. Kelly. Like, this... Like, we should be talking
about R. Kelly.
People don't, though. Obviously, this is new shit to me.
This isn't new. Everybody know about R. Kelly. It was national news.
Jimmy.
R. Kelly. Hold on, fam. Louis. You gonna sit here and tell me R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly, went to fucking trial after I Believe I Can Fly, what made him the megastar. He went to trial for motherfucking child molestation.
Okay. So there's new women coming out saying that he's been holding them captive and he has been manipulating them and
these
kidnapping them.
These bitches does not being held captive. You fucking 15, 16, 17 years old. Let me tell you something. I know little bitches that was 15, 16, 17 year old fucking grown ass niggas for motherfucking Reebok Classics, dog.
Yeah, but let me say this.
They know Jim, better. They know what the fuck they up to.
Yeah, but
the fuck out of here.
So
with
does
that.
It matter when you're 15 or 16 years old? And they, look, I'm the last person to defend women. Ooh, this is really bothering me.
But I'm not saying R. Kelly right.
Let me finish.
You're not hearing me. This is old news with R. Kelly.
I'm saying that it's not because I personally don't know about all this other shit. I heard about years ago about him pissing on the 14-year-old girl.
So why isn't it? Why is this all new now?
I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming people have been coming out with new allegations. They just wrote a documentary on him. What is your point? Do you think there's a conspiracy against R. Kelly?
I just think
is R. Kelly holding? Is
you
he
know
any
what
less?
It
let
is.
Me say this.
It's so crazy.
Jimmy, let me finish, dog. You got to let me talk.
Okay.
Come on,
go ahead, man.
I'm not being an asshole. Are you saying that R. Kelly doesn't deserve the attention the same as anybody else? Because
Harvey Weinstein deserves the attention.
Harvey Weinstein's in jail. I mean, he's being charged with rape. This is a little different.
Weinstein case has been dismissed, nigga.
No, it hasn't. Has it? No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
Has it?
One of the charges got dismissed, but not
No, it hasn't been dismissed. He's going to go to jail.
One of his charges.
Harvey Weinstein will go to jail.
I bet you he don't. What do you want to bet?
What do you want to bet?
$20,000.
What? Hold on.
One of six charges was dropped, so he still has to beat five.
Yeah, I don't think he's beating those charges, doggy. He's being charged with rape. He's going to jail. They're making a... he's the guy that they're making an example of.
Bill Cosby was the nigga they made the example of.
Bill Cosby was straight up raping
bitches. No doubt. They needed to make an example out of his bitch ass.
Hey, look, I'm not saying that...
I think they should make an example. I'm sorry for cutting you off, Lou. But I think they should make an example out of R. Kelly, bitch ass. You know what I mean? I'm not saying none of this whole shit is right.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, come on, man. Don't just put that spotlight on that man and just gonna sweep it under the rug. Like, I don't hear John Legend talking that fly shit about motherfucking Harvey Weinstein.
I think they were all talking that shit about Harvey Weinstein when he was the hashtag of the week.
Oprah Winfrey knew Harvey Weinstein was out here fucking raping bitches.
Jim, let me, because this is an interesting point, okay? So it's a part of, we mentioned it before, it's a part of this culture of people feeling as if they're being a part of something and they feel like they're helping, right? But they feel like they're helping by using the hashtag of the moment, and they get passionate, and it just happens to be that Harvey Weinstein isn't in the news this week. That's all it is. So it's not that they're forgetting. It's just people are so dumb, they can only focus on one thing at a time. And when that dies down, it's going to be the Mexicans at the border. It's just all these hot button issues, and they keep on coming up over and over again.
And I think it's R. Kelly now because of the documentary, the same as it was Cosby because Aziz talked about it at first.
It'll just come back and go over and over again. I mean,
more importantly,
I just think that we need
to be stronger as individuals, as the people, to not let the Matrix manipulate us like this.
Right.
Like, why the fuck are we so caught up in this whole shit? We should be praying for these people and moving the fuck on, because here's the thing. We got the information. Don't ignore it. We keep the candle in the light in the window to find your way home from the storm, because that's what the fuck we got to do. We got to keep a light in the window on these niggas.
It's beautiful. I agree with you. And there's something about being a fucking just anybody. If let's say you're a woman who's really passionate about the Me Too movement, right? You're really passionate about it, right? And you're watching a television program, and at the end they do a little animation with the Me Too hashtag, and they're like, "We support Me Too," right? How that doesn't offend you, And how your reaction isn't like, oh shit, you're literally using this movement as marketing. It's just dollars. It's just you're taking this angle because it's the better angle to take for your business. And it's just a business decision, okay? And how you don't see that and how you don't see how transparent that is and how it doesn't piss you off as a consumer, I don't understand it. I see people doing it at the Golden Globes. Everyone's wearing the certain color. And it's like, you're just part of a marketing thing. You just wanted to get the attention mm-hmm. off of this thing. You're really getting attention off of these victims. You're getting shine and making money off of these victims.
Like, if you want to really do something, nigga, really protect our women, nigga.
Yeah. Well, that's
really
what I said.
Be out
if
here,
you saw a woman
really
being attacked.
Really be out here and ride out for... Yo, if I see a nigga doing something to a woman
you're
in the
stepping
street,
in.
I have
every
no choice.
Time. Every fucking time. I say this all
I
the time.
I have no choice, my nigga. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Not on my watch, yep. B. Not on my watch. And I said the same thing about animals. I'm an animal lover. If you fucking up a dog or doing some wild shit to an animal and I'm walking by, homie, don't worry about the authorities. I'm going to fuck you up. And that is a fact.
Jimmy, you should do a pilot for a TV show where you just beat up animal abusers.
I mean, yo, my nigga, but I am dead serious. Yo, uh-huh. I went to an animal shelter the other day. Like, I wish I could have taken one of these niggas home. But I can't. I just wanted to go through and just pet and play with them, but because they need that attention. But homie, people are out here really fucking up animals.
How did it feel to be on the other side of the glass for once?
It felt good. They needed that.
Just put your hand up against it.
Yeah. Give me some paw, man. Give me some paw. You know, but I'm definitely that nigga. Like you ain't go be getting crazy.
Yeah.
And disrespect. And you know, I get in heated conversations with my shorty sometimes, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's never to the point where, yo, dog, we are in a place right now where we have to acknowledge our women are our backbone. Yeah. We always been talking this shit, behind every man is a strong woman, blah, blah, blah. Nah, fuck that, nigga. The women has been holding the fucking man down since.
Hmm.
I know my mom was the foundation. And my mom's is crazier than a motherfucker. But she was the foundation that held everything together. Every man that she came into her life, that she healed or tried to fix while still fucking having us and her life. Like, yo, bro, women go through the most. We have to protect our women.
Mm.
So when they going through these movements and these motions and all of this shit with all this whole shit, niggas is sick. Women can't say silly, simple things to men without a man thinking this bitch want her.
Yeah.
A woman can't say, excuse me, because she's walking through the door. A bitch say, excuse me to the nigga, and the nigga mind, he like, oh, shit.
Oh, she wants to suck this dick.
This bitch want me.
Oh, excuse
yeah.
you? Okay.
I don't let a bitch say, God bless you, because you sneezed. Oh, this bitch want to start a family. Yo, bro, niggas is sick. I understand what women go through, but it's so crazy. It took that situation with that community to bring that attention to what women go through on a regular basis. The cat calling, all of that shit. Because I'm telling you, it took that situation with those folk to make me understand that cat calling is whack. Well,
Jimmy,
I don't cat call anyway.
You used to be the best cat caller. That's not true.
My shit, that's not cat calling.
It was just being funny for your boys.
No, it's not cat calling. It's connecting. It's called originally connecting.
One night.
Watch this. Niggas is busy calling shorties like, psst, yo. Sweetheart. You don't know if she a sweetheart. This bitch could be a Sour Patch Kid. Yeah, you don't know nothing.
That's true.
So I like to say original shit that make them thinking that Spartans
can
up their day.
Can I tell you, one time I remember catcalling?
Go ahead. What?
We were outside of Stand Up New York, and for about 2 hours, we just stood there while every woman that walked by, Jimmy just yelled the words anal sex at her.
Wow. Really?
Anal sex!
Nah, I didn't do that.
I swear on my fucking child's life, it was one of the funniest things I've ever watched.
I was just yelling it to women walking by.
Hilarious. But it wasn't really about them. It was about us.
I was we talking? Because I don't
we
see
just,
me
doggy,
as a woman walk by, I'm saying
doggy,
anal
it was
sex.
Like, it was, couldn't be, any more clear than that. That was it. There was no more nuance to it. He was just yelling the words anal sex.
But you say it like I was yelling it directly to someone.
It was hilarious.
No, but I wasn't yelling it directly. Can I say
this? You, because you, maybe you don't remember it. What happens is in these moments, because we used to do this outside of the comedy cellar. We used to stand outside of the comedy cellar like a bunch of dudes, and we'd create a gauntlet. There'd be five guys on each side. And when women would walk by, we'd be like, yeah, girl, yeah, what? And thinking back in today's times, I'm like, that's fucking creepy. We would never do that outside of a comedy club. But back then, this is 8-9 years ago, it was literally us being funny. It had nothing to do with the woman.
That should be the test to get into the comedy cellar now. It would save them a lot of shit.
But we had nothing. It had nothing to do with the women. It was just us being funny. We were making fun of guys who catcall. And essentially, that's what you were doing. You weren't actually trying to stop these women. You were making all of your friends laugh. But at the same time, this woman, in today's times, we don't consider this then, but we do now. What if this woman was actually a victim of sexual assault recently, and then it was a guy that was a fucking big, a bunch of group of intimidating meatheads are yelling fucked up shit. You don't really think of shit back then. You know, it was victimless, it was harmless, but at the same time, you think as you get older, you do start to think of like how that's perceived and how somebody that might truly bother somebody. But at the time, it was one of the fucking funniest things. I remember just laughing harder than I've ever laughed in my entire life, because it'd be a woman just walking across the street like, anal sex.
Let me tell you something. When you yell anal sex out, white people respond differently than black people respond differently. True. The way. When I yell anal, because that's normally one of my social experiments when I'm driving, I yell it out the window, and it would be a black couple together and be like, anal sex! Yeah, she'd ride by and bitch be like, who said that? Fuck that nigga. Where that nigga at? Yo. You know, nigga, now the nigga, if he was into anal sex, now he know that shit off the motherfucking table there. That's out. But when normally when I ride by white people and I say, anal sex, they'd be like, fuck yeah! That's the lady saying that.
That is the reaction.
Yeah, totally, man. I'm not bullshitting.
Some devil horns in the air? Fuck yeah, I dig it. We're gonna wrap this one up in just a couple minutes here. Make sure you follow everyone on Twitter. Jimmy's Conduct, at Zach is Not Funny, at Louis J. Gomez. But let's get a couple questions. We do have a couple questions from the fans that I asked. I put out on Twitter today. So we'll end the show with a couple.
Asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right. Here we go. This is on Twitter. I only got a couple of good questions today. They're not that great. I feel like we can get some better ones. When are you going to do Zach and Miko's Midnight Spook Show? And what movie do you want to watch? When am I doing it, Zach? You cunt?
I don't know. Whatever you want, dude.
Fucking piece of shit.
And we're going to do Frankenhooker, right?
Frankenhooker was the one that I really wanted to do.
Yeah, sure.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid. That's, am I combining two different movies, or is the plot of Frankenhooker? In fact, you can pull up the trailer for Frankenhooker. I haven't seen it in years. My understanding was his girlfriend got him a lawnmower for his birthday, and the lawnmower went ape shit. Here, turn the music off. Let's pull it up for a second. And it kills her, and then he wants to recreate his girlfriend.
Yeah, he kills hookers and so. Yeah,
but he also creates super crack in order to get the girls. Like, he's a scientist, so he. Give us the volume.
Bride of Frankenstein. In 1990, the makers of Basket Case and Brain Damage bring you...
Want a date?
Frankenhooker. Jeffrey Franken has a plan.
I just want to bring him back.
He has the ingenuity.
I need female body parts.
He has everything he needs, except the raw materials.
Just hold still. Excellent. Oh, my God. Bunyan!
It's actually a higher quality movie than I remember.
Jeffrey's creation is alive.
Looking for some action?
Oh, yeah. She's sexy.
Want a date? You going out?
I'm on my way home, but thanks anyway.
And she's sutured to please.
Listen, I'm looking for a very tall, attractive woman. She's purple. She's got fresh bars on her.
She's in the bar!
I love it. There we go. There we go. It's fine.
Yeah.
And if you press the button on the box, it used to say, want a date? It was great. It was just fucking awesome. And I rented that movie, I mean, when I was 9-10 years old.
I love it. I've never seen it, but I would watch it.
You should do Zach's show. It's a Midnight Spook Show. It would actually have special meaning when you were on.
I would do it.
You should. You watch a horror movie and you guys are like Mystery Science
yeah,
Theater.
Yeah, bullshit over it.
Yeah, we kind of got like something like that for my Patreon.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love it, dude. So, go subscribe to Jimmy's Patreon as well, which is fucking dope. Let me get another question here. We'll do a real question. That wasn't a real one.
I don't think we should ever have the power to tell a woman to do what she wants to do with her body. Like the whole abortion thing, you know, I'm pro-choice. You know, they saying that abortion is murder. I just want all you niggas to know that's out here getting your dick sucked and that one chicks to swallow. If abortion is murder, blowjobs is cannibalism.
Fuck yeah.
So
I agree.
Watch yourselves, nigga. That's a slippery slope.
That can be a t-shirt. If abortion is murder, blowjobs are cannibalism.
So all right, shit. So I'm making a t-shirt.
Done. Love it.
Make blowjobs hotter?
Let's... it's crazy. All right, last one. Last question from the fans, and then we're going to get the fuck out of here. Let's see. We got to get a good one. Right here. All right, right here. Po' Boys Podcast wants to know, when is the last time you were caught whacking off? Real quick, Zach, when's the last time you were caught whacking off?
New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yeah.
Girlfriend?
Yeah. Walked in on me. Jerking off to Spanish girls on my phone.
Yeah. My girlfriend catches me. She finds my, like, lube opened, or, like, I leave... What the fuck
I'm
is
sorry.
That?
Oh, that's my mommy.
Oh.
My mommy was cursing me out.
It's all good. When's the last time you caught jerking off?
Oh, shit. Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving Eve.
Who
Thanksgiving
caught you?
Eve.
Survivor Series.
My fucking aunt.
Your aunt?
Yeah.
No.
I hate the holiday season because all the family comes over to the fucking house. You know what was crazy? Last year, my great grandmother caught me masturbating. And was having me under pressure. So when my aunt caught me jerking off on Thanksgiving Eve, I came out at the table on Thanksgiving and I told everybody, hey, last year, great-grandma caught me jerking off and last night, auntie caught me jerking off. I just want y'all to know that. So
and
this
was cool. They just laughed.
Yeah. It was a weird moment.
It was uncomfortable.
But I felt relieved that I couldn't be pressured anymore. When's the last time you got caught jerking off?
I don't remember the last time I got jerking off. I got caught this morning fucking Kim by my son. I didn't get caught. The moment I started to have sex with her, he came into the room. literally, the door popped open. And I was like, oh shit. And then he jumped onto the bed and was like, Dad, I want to snuggle with you. And
me just
laid there awkwardly. I was like, no, James, go finish your oatmeal. And that was it.
While I give her my oatmeal.
No, that was it. There was no having sex after that.
Yeah, dude, when I was up north.
Was it? Missionary?
No, just on the side, lazy, okay. Fucking
so,
fat
all right,
sex.
So at least you can.
Yeah, we look like we're just snuggling.
Mm-hmm. When I was up north, man, I used to have this shorty named Mia come visit me. Homie, when people used to have their kids around, they used to grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
She was giving me some of the slowest, meanest top ever. You ever get a blowjob and you see the resonance of whatever food group you was eating into
disgusting.
The saliva?
That's disgusting.
That's phenomenal. That shit gets my dick extra hard.
Like a blowjob after Oreos?
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna puke thinking about that.
Oh, my God.
All right, look, we're going to wrap this one, Jim. You guys are amazing. Thank you for listening to the Real Ass Podcast. We'll be back.
Fire in a motherfucking hole.
On Friday. Make sure you check out Fire in the Hole. Go subscribe right now. Jimmy keeps it real every time. We will have you back regularly on this show.
That's what's up, man. Are we going to do this fight or what?
Hell yeah, maybe. We'll see what happens. We'll have our people talk to your people. We'll see how committed you are to doing this,
Jim. How much
to
arm wrestle?
Oh, that's a good question right there, Zach. We're going to have to figure that out.
We'll be back Friday. Peace.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the show. As you know, we have 20 amazing shows here on the Gas Digital Network, and one of those shows is the Comedy Fight Club. You guys used to love the Roast Masters when I hosted it with the amazing Big J. Okerson and Rich Voss. Well, the Comedy Fight Club is the next generation of unbelievable roast battlers. It's New York City's premier roast battle show, and it has taken the place of the Roast Masters here at the Gas Digital Network. Here's a clip. If you like it, make sure you go subscribe on iTunes, leave them a 5-star review, and let them know that we sent you. Enjoy the Comedy Fight Club.
Your next fight. Introducing first, he looks like he practices kissing on his pillow, Bobby Sheehan! And his opponent looks like a leprechaun midway through transitioning, Jessica Clayton! 30 seconds on the clock. This fight or child battle begins. Now.
All right, so I spent hours looking at Jess's Facebook page. Reading all of her tweets, watching every Instagram story. Anyway, later, Matt asked me if I wanted to roast her. Jess looks like she has porcelain dolls to practice drowning her kids in the tub. Jess's mom abandoned her as a child, which means the first room she walked was a nursery.
Jessica Clayton.
Bobby Sheehan, you unfuckable goblin. Yeah. Bobby messaged me before this and told me I could ask him questions. I was like, I think I'll go off looks on this one. No, really, it's super cool to be roasting my first Nintendo Wii avatar. Bobby's a recovered alcoholic. He knew he had to stop when he got to the bottom of the tequila bottle and saw a worm banging his mom.
Unfuckable goblin. Not like all those fuckable goblins out there. Yeah. Chris Crespo. Fight Club is the winner of round one. Bobby Sheehan. Or is the winner of round one, Jessica Clayton? Close, but winner of round one, Bobby Sheehan! 30 seconds on the clock. Round two starts now.
Thank you, the cuck of the Irish. Yeah, my mom had me when she was 19, and then she left, which means we've both made women leave for coming too early. Look, there's a reason they don't name hurricanes Bobby. There's a 0% chance you'll wet anyone's major area. Look, Bobby, I'll leave you with a hot tip. Women don't want to sleep with someone who needs to be burped after eating pussy, okay?
Bobby Sheehan.
All right, Jess, you pedophile's wet nightmare. Jess suffers from bouts of acne. It shows up every once in a while, but not enough to affect her life. I'm sorry, that's her mom. Jess claims she's a twin, but really it's because the only time she gets laid is when the guy's seeing double. Yeah. One more? Oh. No, you know, I don't want to do this anymore. Thank you. That was my impression of Jess's mom.
Fight Club is the winner of round two, Jessica Clayton. Or is the winner of round two, Bobby Sheehan? This fight's gonna go to sudden death overtime! One joke apiece. Overtime starts now.
Jess looks like she only shaves her pussy to make voodoo dolls of her exes.
Jess Clayton.
Bobby always has this look on his face like his babysitter told him she'll show a titty if he goes to sleep.
Fight Club is the winner of this fight, Bobby Sheehan. Or is the winner of this fight, Jessica Clayton? Winner, Jess Clayton!